Good morning, everyone. This morning's message is taken from John chapter 14, verse 27. John chapter 14, verse 27. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And this is preceded by the verse, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So why is it suggested that we ought not to let our hearts be troubled and not be afraid? And here, when I say trouble, I mean doubt, worry, fear, anxiety. I've identified four main reasons, the first three of which are interrelated. First of all, it prevents us from effectively listening to the Holy Spirit's guidance. Secondly, it prevents us from falling into the plans of the enemy. Thirdly, it becomes an impediment to our receiving God's grace, His blessings, and His answers to prayers. And fourthly, it's really pointless. It's the folly of worrying and doubting. Many times we as Christians might find ourselves in a crisis. However, instead of letting our hearts be troubled and being frantic and trying to look for a solution on our own means, perhaps we should just quiet down our spirit, and effectively the Holy Spirit will give us a solution when we seek Him. But the Holy Spirit operates best only when our hearts are not troubled, only when we're not frantic and running around panicking and trying to do things our own way, only when we quieten down our hearts seeking Him. From a personal perspective, I can share with you that many years ago, my family faced a bit of a crisis soon after my father passed away suddenly. And we had a property-related business, which, we were trying to deal with on our own means. And we had tried everything. We had tried leasing it out. We had tried selling it out. We had tried advertising it overseas. We had flew people in from interstate to see whether they were interested in buying this particular business/property. And we as a family, we needed to deal with it and deal with it in a way that, it wasn't, I guess, so much the financial means, but more so we were doing the right thing by Dad, because he had put so much blood and guts into it. We thought that we'd at least have to deal with it in a way that would honor him. And this went on for a long time. Maybe 18 months to 2 years, and you can't imagine what it's like when you're trying to find a solution on your own means, doing everything you could possibly think of, and it just didn't work. And we were at the end of our tether, and not only did we did more than let our hearts be troubled, we were actually pulling our hair out towards the end, so we were letting our hair be troubled as well. Okay, I'll try that one again when we're awake. but it was sufficiently described as a crisis. And it got to a stage where one day we finally decided all to get together as a family, and for the first time as a family we all got onto our knees and prayed, and this was in one of the first holidays that we had taken as a family, and it was in Awana, just at the foot of the Genting Hills in Malaysia. I can't forget the scene and the feeling. And we prayed and we asked God for a solution to this. And you wouldn't believe it, because on the way home to Melbourne, as soon as my mother set foot in the door, the phones were ringing hot, and we had our purchaser, we had our buyer. You know, after 2 years of running around, being at the end of our tether, we got the miracle that we needed. But I wonder how much sooner we would have gotten our answer to the prayer that we asked for if we had first quieted down our hearts, ushered in the Holy Spirit, and sought Him for a solution rather than depend on our own means and troubled, you know, being so troubled and worried and concerned and running around like the description in Australia's headless chooks trying to find a solution. I should add that as a result of that, my brother accepted Christ. In his words, you can't not believe. I mean, it was just so coincidental. It was more than coincidental where everything fell into place immediately after our prayer. So hopefully would be a good example of why we should not let our hearts be troubled. The second reason why we shouldn't let our hearts be troubled is that it really prevents us from falling into the plans of the enemy. And a classic example of this is in the Bible is Sarah and Abraham, who obviously let their hearts be troubled. They were panicking and consumed by worry, actually, about producing an heir. And we all know the story, and we're all familiar with the story, where ultimately Abraham and Sarah decided, well, okay, time's running out. Nearest female available would be the maidservant. And that was Hagar, as you all know, and the product of taking their decision and their problem into their own hands is Ishmael. And shall we say, the rest is history. You see, the modus operandi of the devil is that he likes to get to Christians in areas of our weakness or areas that concern us most, the things that get to us most, the things that overwhelm us, the things that enable us to be consumed by worry. That's what the devil likes to get to us. And that's sort of our weak link, the weak link in our armor that enables him to get a toehold into us. However, if we remain in him, we are peaceful, we remain strong in our relationship with him, the devil cannot gain an entry into the hearts and minds of a peaceful, faithful Christian. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Very quickly, the third reason is that as we've all read the passages in the Bible in respect of worry and the folly of worry, worry, doubt and fear are effectively an impediment to receiving God's grace, his peace and his answers to prayers. And worry effectively nullifies or hinders the effect of faith. Matthew 21:21 says, Jesus replied, I think I'll just get my Bible here. Just quickly turn to Matthew 21:21. You'll be familiar with the paragraph. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. Now, the operative words are the words that jumped out at me when I read this paragraph, and it's like I was reading it for the first time, was, if you have faith and do not doubt. I think I always read these passages as, if you have faith, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree and so on and so forth, but there's two preconditions. It's if you have faith on the one hand and do not doubt on the other hand, which is important. Those two are preconditions to you receiving this answer to the miraculous prayers that you're seeking. And it's not enough simply to have faith. That to me was a little bit of a staggering discovery, because I'm thinking, well, imagine every time you have faith for something, you're taking two steps forward, and what? Doubt enters in, so you're actually taking two steps back. So you really haven't progressed that far in terms of seeking an answer to your prayer. So anyway, that's the third reason why we should let our hearts be troubled and not be afraid. And the fourth, final reason is that it's pointless. It's pointless to worry. It's pointless to, as I remind myself, I'm known as a worrywart. the folly of worry, and we've all read in the Gospels that famous verse which says, which of you by worrying can add a single cubit to his stature? So it doesn't make any difference whether we worry about it or not in terms of reaching our solution. Okay, so what's the antidote? I mean, we've all heard reasons, four reasons why we shouldn't let our hearts be troubled and not being afraid. And how do we do this? We do this by abiding in him. He's the vine, we are the branches. Keeping a close, consistent relationship with him. And this includes remembering all the past blessings that he's given you, all the past miracles that he's performed in your life, every time that he's come through for you in the past. And that's why I'm a firm believer of journaling. Journal your prayer requests, you know, put the dates down, and journal the times and dates when God answers your prayers. So these are the sorts of things, that practical steps that you can take to take you through it, especially through the periods of dark times or the low times in your life when you're still seeking an answer to prayer. Try to intertwine your life with his life. And finally, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so all these things will be added unto you. So this morning, if any one of you here are letting your hearts be troubled, other than myself, and are letting yourself be consumed by worry, I'd really encourage you to meditate on the verse that we just spoke about. And I'd encourage you to really lay your worries down at the foot of the cross. To lay it down at the foot of the cross. To quieten your spirit. To depend on God. To trust him. To come through for the solutions that you're seeking. Instead of looking for solutions for yourself and being absolutely consumed by worry. Thank you. Dear Father, just thank you for the message that you've given us this morning. I ask, Father, that if any one of us are here today, Father, with concerns that we can't find solutions to, I would just really just ask that you would give them new perspectives, to be able to just lay them down at the foot of the cross, to summon in your Holy Spirit for the Holy Spirit's guidance and for your miraculous abilities to produce solutions that we're seeking for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Behind, no one else will do. I will lay hold of you. You are the source. You are the source of life, and I can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will lay hold of you. I need you, Jesus. 'Cause I need you, Jesus. Come to my rescue. Where else can I go? 'Cause no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. I will follow you. You are the source. You are the source of life, and I can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will take hold of you. I need you, Jesus. 'Cause I need you, Jesus. Come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. 'Cause I need you, Jesus. Come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. I will follow you. I will follow you. Sing this world. Nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. I will follow you. This world has nothing for me. 'Cause I need you, Jesus. Come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. 'Cause I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. 'Cause I need you, Jesus. Come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. Capture me. Won't you capture me with grace? Capture me. Won't you capture me with grace? I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you.
Is the mic on now? Okay. Corporately as a body, I think we should now pray as SP. I think the first thing we should pray about is our new building. Let's pray that God really leads us to the right building soon, and that we'll have the appropriate amount of funds and finances to meet this building, and for prayer covering for all the committees, the steering committee, the pastor, the pastors, and everyone that's involved in finding these church premises. Let's just pray now in time. Thanks. We should also remember our missionaries in China that we're supporting, the Chong family, namely. That's Jane and John and their three sons, Pastor Nate and Matt's parents as well. And let's just ask for God to continue to supply their every need, to continue to enable that they be effective ministers of the word, and that they will be protected day in, day out from any plans of the enemy and anything that is not of you, not from you, Father. Just let's cover them. Thank you. Finally, Father, I just lift up to you the four mission trips that are going to happen between in the months of December right through to February 14 to 20, Father. We've got two mission trips to China, one to North Korea, one to South Korea. Father, I just ask that you would just cover them, cover these mission trips with Journey Mercies, Father, and I ask that everyone that's attending these mission trips be just kept safe, yet be effective ministers of your word, Father, as they spread the good news to so many of these different groups and different segments of society, Father. Just ask that you would just cover them and just enable them to effectively minister. Oh, almost forgot, there's also a missions trip to Philippines. So just cover all these mission trips and just ask for God to protect each and every SP member for good coordination, good cooperation, unity in spirit, and the ability to be effective ministers and not to fall ill or not to fall out of line. Just ask for God's covering in every possible way for the mission trips that are going to happen. Thank you. Just spend some time praying for yourselves. I wish you all a very blessed, a smooth, very good day. And for those who are taking flights elsewhere, just for journey mercies, protection, a safe trip. Thank you.